Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. I'm reminded constantly by the fact that a lot of people don't have an exit strategy from their business, and this is concerning to me and something that I've set up many, many years ago, and I think it's important for me to reemphasize this, and I'm going to talk more about it today so that you can kind of formulate something for yourself, and that way you're not going to be left with no plan and no time to implement it. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. What do I mean by exit strategy? Well, there has to be a point where what you're doing now is something that you're not going to be doing when you're 60, 65, 70 years old. And it's important to look far in the future because the lifespan of everyone is getting longer. And it's one of those things where if you don't plan for it, you're not going to have a very comfortable later life existence, to put it nicely. You want to basically have the income you're having now, and you may even need more income than you're making now later for health reasons. Maybe you need to be in a nursing home, or your health starts to fail and you need the money to do treatments and you don't have that money because you didn't have any kind of strategy, or you didn't really work to build up a way to have your income that you're having now later to where you're not, when you're not working. And if you haven't noticed, everything gets more expensive over time. And does not necessarily get cheaper over time. And I mentioned this often to kind of date myself, but I remember when gas prices were under a dollar, and it wasn't until about 1990 where some gas stations broke the dollar mark in California in my area. And now, of course, you can't get gas for less than $4.50 just about anywhere in my area. And everyone knows someone who bought their house for like $40,000, and now it's worth, you know, $500,000 or $1 million. And no one really talks about the national debt anymore because it's so gigantic that no one wants to look at it. But there's a very easy way to get rid of the national debt, and that's what hyperinflation. You can make bread $30 a loaf. You can make a gallon of gas $20 a gallon. And then those trillions of dollars kind of don't look that big because now everything is more expensive, and $1 trillion is no longer, quote, $1 trillion anymore. That's kind of how everything goes from the past to the future. The buying power of the dollar gets weaker because things cost more. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're trying to get to a point where the national debt doesn't look that ugly. And if you're not preparing for this, and if you don't have anything in place for your future, you're probably going to be doing pool service of some type for the rest of your life. And you're not going to be anywhere near getting to the income you're making now unless you take some steps to provide or plan the future. And I think it's one of those things where you can look at some of the numbers coming out if you Google anything, you know, that the majority of Americans, 27%, are the only ones that report that they're comfortable and they can retire. So that's like one in every four people are in that category. That means that 75% of Americans are not going to be retired comfortably. Now, a lot of people who have jobs like as teachers, firefighters, police officers, any kind of government or state job. I know someone who works for the railroad. He makes $8,000 a month right now. And when he retires from the railroad, he's going to be making $8,000 a month in his pension. And I would say those people have nothing to worry about. But as someone who has their own business and is self-employed, you have a lot to worry about because you don't have that kind of safety net. You don't have that kind of pension. And I can almost guarantee you that your Social Security that you're going to get is going to be a lot lower than someone who has a W-2 job that's paying into the system consistently. Because our income fluctuates and our tax returns fluctuate, the amount that you pay into Social Security is going to be a lot lower in most cases than someone working for IBM, let's say, for 30 years and paying every year into Social Security. So you can't really rely on Social Security either. Now, if your spouse is working a job where she's a teacher, or maybe she works for the state, then you're going to be a little better off. But you really don't want to rely on that either. You want to make sure that you take steps so that you can secure a good future. If anyone listening is feeling a little uncomfortable now and a little kind of scared and kind of worried about it, you probably should be, because that means you're not taking steps that have an exit strategy. What steps should you be taking at this moment? Well, there's some very basic things you can do. You can get on a budget, and then you can allocate a certain percentage of your income towards investing. And that's the key, and that's something that a lot of people don't do. If you don't own your own house at this point, you probably should buy it, even though I don't think it's the best investment for your money. But you need to have at least a house with a paid off mortgage to just kind of sustain yourself in the future, because you don't want to be renting when you're, you know, in your 60s and 70s. Then you're at the mercy of whatever the rent is in your area, and that can always be rising in a lot of cases. So at the minimum, you want to have a personal residence. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but you would want it to have it paid off by the time you retire. And that's really easy to do because you can get a 30-year mortgage. Let's say that you're 30 years old now. You get a house, you get a 30-year mortgage, and you don't make any extra payments. Well, that house, unless you refinance it, will be paid off in 30 years without you doing nothing except making your monthly mortgage payment. So I don't think it's impossible to pay off a house. The problem is most Americans move every 7 years, or the bank sends you a letter every 5 or 6 years asking you to refinance, and everyone resets their mortgage to a 30-year mortgage. Not logical, but the banks know that if you don't move in 7 years and you stay in your house, they aren't going to get the maximum interest anymore, because when you get to about year 14, you're at 50-50 interest and principal payment, and the banks want to avoid that. They want to have a very interest-heavy loan all the time. So they're happy when you sell your house and move, because they know that, you know, maybe not their bank, but another bank will catch them. And then with all that movement, they're going to get people getting loans from their bank again. But if you don't move, they'll send you letters, they'll advertise lower rates. And then most Americans refinance their mortgage. I think most of my neighbors have refinanced 2 or 3 times, and they still have 25, 28 years on their mortgage. And everyone in my neighborhood has been here, or a lot of people in the neighborhood have been here for over 20 years, and their mortgages should be nearly paid off, but they're not because they refinance. So there's traps like that that keep you from having probably the best asset, which is a personal residence with no mortgage. That means you only have to worry about property tax, insurance, utilities, and maybe some repairs, and you're not paying a big mortgage to the bank. And it's one of those things where it's really easy and basic to kind of get that one asset started and get that in place. And then once you budget, you want to have a good portion of your money going towards investing. Now, there's nothing wrong with putting some money in some funds, like a mutual fund, and putting it, you know, having it set aside for you. That's perfectly fine. You just have to budget to have some kind of an investment. How much money should you be putting aside as someone who's self-employed? That really depends on when you start, how old you are, but the more you can put aside for investing, the better off you're going to be later. And of course, at a younger age, the better off you're going to be. But you should be putting a substantial amount towards investing. I would say somewhere in the 30% range would not be unheard of. Most experts suggest you invest 10% of your money, but that's probably for someone who's working a W-2 job that's going to have a pretty good size Social Security check, if it still exists by then, by the way, or pension. And it's not really for the self-employed person who doesn't really have a safety net that they can rely on. So I would say 30% of your income should be going towards some kind of investment. And then, of course, that can taper down as you get older and as your investment has gotten larger. You won't have to put as much towards it at that point. But at the beginning, you want to throw as much money as possible towards possible investments for the future. If you listen to my show often, you know that I'm really big on real estate. So how can you start investing in real estate? Well, the first thing you need is a down payment. And unless you're going to be moving into that house, you're going to need to put 20 to 25% down. And so I would say logically, a really good investment would be a portion of your money going into maybe a Roth IRA so that you have a tax-free investment you can draw from in the future. And then the other portion should be going towards a down payment. And you want to save, at least in my area, you would want to save at least $100,000 or $150,000 to get started. Your area, the houses might be less expensive. And so 25% for a down payment might be somewhere around $70,000. So I would save for that. And then you would get your first investment property. And then you can save again for another one. And you probably would want to have two or three of these to supplement your retirement or supplement your income currently. Because if you're, I'm going to go with the young guys again, if you're 30 and you have three rental properties, you don't have to do anything for the course of 30 years except collect the rent and have the tenants pay the mortgage off. And so when you're 60, you'll have your personal residence paid off and you'll have three rental properties paid off and you'll have the rent income coming in free and clear, minus all the expenses, of course, property tax, insurance. But that rent is going to be something that will sustain you, and I think it's a great source of income. And if you ever get in trouble and need a large amount of cash for something, you can, of course, liquidate one and cash that out. And hopefully, within that 30-year period, the equity or the price of that house has risen to a point where there's a substantial amount of money you can draw on. And there's something to be said in investing in California. Now, it's not a very landlord-friendly state. Tenants have a lot of rights, and that's because a lot of landlords screwed things up for everyone else. And so the state kind of stepped in and gave tenants some rights that are probably a little bit too on that side of things and not for, not neutral. And I think that's one big problem, and people kind of shy away from California. We also have rent control where you can't raise it more than 9 or 10% a year, and some people have it locked in for even less. But there's one thing about California that makes owning property here great, and that's the appreciation of the property or how much it goes up in value. And you can buy something in California for $300,000 or $400,000 maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and now that's worth $600,000 or $500,000. And the appreciation in California averages about 5 or 6%, sometimes 10% a year. So that's one benefit of having a property in California, is that the kind of piggy bank that you're building with that property, if you ever need to liquidate it, is going to give you a large amount of cash. And I think it's one of those things that you don't think about. You're buying the property, and there's equity, of course, and there's a rent, and there's having it paid off, but there's also having an asset that could be worth $500,000. And how much money do you have to put in to mutual funds or the stock market to get an asset of $500,000? It would take quite a lot of investing and quite a lot of time for that to build up to that point. Whereas real estate, you can accelerate that dramatically. Now, I'm not telling you what to do to invest in. You can, of course, do whatever you want. You can invest in gold, which has gone up dramatically. You can do Bitcoin if you understand what that is, if you have a grasp of how you can make money there. You can even build up your business to where you're having employees run it. You're still going to be kind of doing pool service because you'll be in the background as the manager or as the owner, but you're not going to no longer operate that business or have anything really to do with it. And you'll just be collecting a portion of the profit from that business. And that's not a bad exit strategy either, but you just remember that you're still going to be kind of tied down to a business of some kind that's not quite passive. You know, you may have to step in ever so often when someone quits, and you may have to put together a really great management team. But then, of course, you also have to worry about economic factors in your area, and you're really not separated from your business. And I would suggest something that's going to separate you from that kind of volatility. I know another pool pro that buys coin laundries. I mentioned him before, and he has 3 of them now, I believe. And he just collects the money, basically. People do laundry, and they're around these apartment complexes in areas where they don't have laundry machines in their homes or apartments. Actually, probably not their homes, but their apartments don't have it. And he just has to keep the machines operating and keep everything operational. And it's, again, something different than what he's doing and something that doesn't require a lot of time and energy. It is something that you could think about doing also. But the bottom line is that you have to have some kind of plan in place. And if you're in your 40s, in your 50s, and you don't have anything in place, and you think you're going to survive on Social Security, you're probably going to be hurting because, you know, what do you think is going to cost for a gallon of gas 20 years from now, or a loaf of bread? Maybe not $30, but it's not going to be pretty when you're getting a fixed amount of money that is not really going up at the true rate of inflation, and you're trying to live the way you're living now, which is not going to happen because you won't have the income you have now later unless you plan for it now. If you're looking for other podcasts I've recorded, of course, I have a ton of them on pool-related topics. You can find those on my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. Click on the banner, and then you'll see the podcast icon. And if you're looking for my coaching program, you can find out more information about that at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great week, and God bless. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.